Amen. What an appropriate song. Yes. For resurrection.
Yes.
For the celebrating the Lord's Supper.
Yes.
And a lead in to my message. That's why I love this praise team. They always know what to sing. Well, what a wonderful day in the Lord.
Yes.
Another day that he's blessed us. I feel blessed and honored today.
Yes.
I got some folk that came to see me today. And you all don't know them all, but Sister Diane is here.
Yes.
These are folk I've been knowing from Little Tots.
Yes. Yes.
You know, from California. So glad to see her.
Yes.
And Bear is here.
Yes.
Got his head down, but glad to see him today.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And I got a special guest with me today. Gave me a promise that they were going to come. Some of you all know who you saw, but you don't know you saw. Deacon Bernard Wardlow's wife is here today. Ah. Sister Ruby's here today. She made me a promise of when I spoke to her. She said, I told you I was coming. So glad to see her today.
Amen.
Sister Ruby, wave their hand so they know who you are. There she is.
Yes.
All right. Amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So glad to see her. So I normally have a blessed day, a blessed week.
Yes.
Yeah. I got a threefold blessing today. So
amen.
I know I'm going to be blessed. Listen, let's try to build off of that song today, and let's go to Romans chapter 5. You all going to make me alter my message a little bit here. I hope I can pull it and blend it together. But I heard him say at the cross, where the blood was applied. You know, you can't get into Christ just because you go into some water. And you can't get in there because you give some man the right hand of fellowship.
That's right.
Or join some organization. You got to have the blood applied at the cross. Thank God for Brother Vincent's testimony today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Timely and heart-touching, and it touched some hearts this morning. That's just how God does it. That's just how he works. We're going to begin at Romans chapter 5, verse 12, but I got to try to bring this song at the cross and the first 11 verses together, the background, and then get into our message. But beginning at verse 12, it reads, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense, of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many.
Yes.
And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment by one to condemnation. But the free gift of many offenses unto justification.
Yes.
For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment, came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of the one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by many disobedient, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, those scriptures is some that for many, you don't know what I just got through reading. It was too much one and too much abounding, and this is not a scripture that early in my salvation did I even understand. But it really relates back to the cross and where the blood was applied. And it really is even talking about what Brother Vince was saying, that over the 8 years of him growing and developing and getting to understand God and understanding what God has really done for you on your behalf, that he is not so concerned about you trying to understand every detail to become saved or the righteousness of God. But he does want you to understand that what he has done for you and what he wants you to remember, he wants you to apply that blood from the cross to your heart. And if you can apply that blood to your heart, then all the other parts of over time understanding, you'll gain that understanding as you go. So Paul here is really a very deep teacher. And it comes from his background of being a Pharisee and being trained. But I want to briefly kind of summarize that. Oh, my subject for today is God's gift by grace. God's gift to you by grace. So I'm going to back up and give you a little background here with Paul, what makes him lead into these things he just said. At the beginning of chapter 5, he was really talking to us about how we are justified by faith. In other words, God erases or expunges every sin that you have committed, past, present, and future. He justifies you as if you've never sinned. And he does it by faith. It's like the man that has been put into prison for all different kind of crimes. And when he comes out, he's just not released because he has did his time. But it's erased where there's no history. The history has been erased. So when God uses the term justification, he's not just talking about just forgiving you. He's talking about erasing it. That's why he makes the statement that I have forgiven your sins as far as the east is from the west. Because as far as you keep traveling west, you never get to an end point. You just keep going. There's never an end. So God is at the cross where the blood is applied. Not in the water, not in shaking a pastor's hand, not in joining an organization, but at the cross is where the blood is applied that erases all past, present, and future sins. So when you go to God after you've been to the cross, not after you've been to the water, Not after you've shaken a hand or joined a church. Not after you've been baptized in Jesus' name or the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not after you've not debated over doctrine. But at the cross, when the blood is applied, and the blood was really applied, and you come before God and try to bring back something from 1968, God can't help you. The all-knowing God that knows everything can't help you because he said, I can't remember it anymore. So you can bring it up all you want. He can't help you because he said, I cannot remember it anymore. So you must believe that the blood was applied.
Yes.
And that everything you've done in your past, present, and future, he has justified you. And he's done it by faith. So then he says, as a result, you then have access by his grace to you to come before his presence boldly.
Amen.
You're able to come by grace.
Yes.
You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. You don't even deserve it. But it's by his grace he gives it to you. And he makes you the righteousness of God. And notice in verse 6, he did it when you were yet without strength. When you were yet without strength, he died for you to put all this in place before you even ask him personally to do it for him. He already did pay the price for it. It's already been applied. They said the blood had been applied. So it's there. It's laying there for you to receive and accept it. It's already been applied. And so he did this and he commended his love toward you, not when you acknowledged him, but while you were a sinner. He did all this while you were yet a sinner, while you were yet a hitman.
Yes, teach master.
While you were yet a pimp and prostitute, while you were an embezzler, while you were taking advantage of elderly women and taking their checks and knocking them down, and while you were yet living that lifestyle, he died for you. And the blood is already applied. It's all about you accepting and receiving it at the cross. And so therefore he wants to reconcile you back to himself. And so this brings us to this message where God's gift by grace. Up to this point, at verse 11, you have not acknowledged that he even exists. And you have not asked him to forgive you. You're just going about life as you see fit. So then he begins at verse 12. And here's where he wants you to understand what he delivered you from and what he is given to you. And you have to begin with Adam. And this is where he's making a contrast between him and Adam. He says, when God created Adam, Adam was given dominion over the whole earth. Then he was given access to a tree of life in the midst of the garden. And he was predestined by God to live on this earth forever. Adam was given only one restriction. Only one. And he had to give him one, otherwise Adam would have just been a robot. He gave him one restriction. He said, you can have everything in the garden to eat. You got dominion over all the animals. You could talk to me in the cool of the day as much as you want, as often as you want. But the only thing you cannot do is touch this one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't touch that tree. Because then the day you eat from that tree, you're trying to be like me. You're trying to determine what's righteous and what's unrighteous. What's right and what's wrong. So here's your one restriction. And you can live on this earth forever. So if Adam had never ate that tree, Adam would be over 6,000 years old today. And what would have kept him alive is the tree. The tree of life also was in the midst of that garden. And that's how he was to live. From just going to that tree of life and just eating from that. And he will be over 6,000 years old today. And everybody who have come through this earth, all mankind, would still be living. And no one would have died. That was never God's plan. So there was neither sin nor death before Adam's offense against God. But after Adam disobeyed, they both occurred. Now, Adam died in two ways, and here's where we struggle to understand what born again really means. Adam died in two ways. Adam died spiritually, and that meant that he became spiritually separated from God. His fellowship, his daily fellowship ceased that very day that he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam, although created perfect, physically had a death, but it took 930 years for that body to decay from a lack of being able to get to the tree of life. And every generation after that has gotten shorter and shorter and shorter. And now we're blessed, the black male, we're blessed if we get to be Deacon Wardlow's age, Brother Joe's age. Look from where we've come from. 930 years. Down to just glad if we can get to 90. All because of sin, all because of disobedience, all because of eating from a tree that would try to make us equal and equivalent to God, that we think we know just as much as God knows. So it was by Adam's disobedience that caused sin to enter into the world.
Yes.
And death came by that one sin. And that one sin of this knowledge was passed on to every generation. So everyone after Adam came in with the sin nature. We have the nature of picking and choosing what we call right and wrong. And mankind has lived a lifestyle that everybody wants to go to heaven, but they want to set the criteria about what it takes to get in there. And believe that God is going to accept it too. But it's the sin nature that brings us to a point that convinces us that we got time or we can convince God to allow us to come in. There has been no one that came back from heaven that has given us evidence. But the only thing that we have came to this conclusion is what we have learned from the people that we interact with and what we hear from social media or religious leaders or barbershops or beauty salons or friends and neighbors. And we come to a conclusion of what it takes to have eternal life. But it was Adam's spirit, it was his spirit that took on the sin nature. And because his spirit took on that nature, his spirit did not have enough to keep his flesh in line. So he convinced his inner man, his soul, his mind, his feelings, his emotions, his passions on what was right and what was wrong. Therefore, all mankind carries the same sin nature that Adam carried. And it's staggering to think how completely death has ruled us under Adam. Everyone who is born in the flesh dies as a result of Adam.
Yes.
When everyone that was born was supposed to live because of Adam. And the mortality rate is 100% with no human flesh living forever. Every grave is God's evidence to the spread and rule of sin since Adam's, and that God cannot lie. The soul that sins shall die. And although sin was in the world, God did not impute or charge anyone for their sins until the law was given. Now read that in that verse. Adam sinned, and sin was pronounced on all mankind. But God did not charge the sin to any man from Adam to Moses. And he says, because where there's no law, there's no transgression. He didn't charge any of them. That means he didn't charge these brothers for killing each other. There was no law. But death still yet reigned. You still can't live forever. You're just not charged for the sin. Look at God's grace. Look at the gift.
Yes, yes.
I didn't tell you you could not do it, so I'm not going to hold you to it. The grace of God. The gift of grace that God gives to mankind. Because he wants fellowship with him.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the second and third and fourth chances that he gives. So that's why he says there will be no excuse. I've done absolutely everything I could possibly do to get you and allow you to live in eternity with me. I've made you accountable for nothing but obey and to show me that you love me. And so verse 13 says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. It's not credited to you. You're not charged toward you where there is no law. So you don't stay out of heaven when there has not been a law to tell you, do not. However, death still yet reigns because God cannot lie. Adam, the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. You die, but I don't charge you for an offense. And it reigned from Adam to Moses, even, it says, over them that had not sinned. After the same similitude, same similarity as Adam did, Adam's transgression. Because Adam was the figure, or he was a type, or he was a pattern of him, of Jesus, that was to come. He was already showing the grace of God. By using Adam. He was the type, the pattern. But he goes on to say, and here's really a tongue twister, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. What he's saying is, but the offense of sin is not like the free gift. The offense is not like the free gift. If through the offense, Adam's disobedience of God, the whole world becomes spiritually dead, it's much more evident through a free gift of God by Jesus Christ, the grace of God should overflow. Let me paraphrase it. If Adam could cause the whole world to become sinners and bring about death, much more Christ can bring about life by his grace that all can live. If Adam could put this on mankind, much more Christ could do much more for mankind. If just by disobedience causes this, Christ said, I can do much more than that. I can put life back in you and give you eternal life strictly by my grace and not cause you to earn it just because I want to give it to you. So by Adam's disobedience, we were all made sinners. But by the obedience of Christ, we're all made righteous. If Adam can make us sinners, Christ can make us righteous. But be clear in understanding, you have not earned righteousness, but you have been made righteous. It was by Adam's one sin that resulted in God pronouncing a judgment of condemnation on mankind that causes most of God's creation not to have eternal life. But God gave the human race the free gift of grace, of justification, erasing, sponging every sin that you have done in the past, present, and future. Every offense against God, he's erasing it and not even remembering it anymore. I mean, look at the grace of God. I mean, when you get to heaven and you come before a throne to make a request, he doesn't come back and say, well, no, I don't know, back in 2025. On January the 8th, you claimed to be a Christian, but you were still a hitman. And so I'm not giving this to you because of what you committed after naming the name of Christ. You don't get this. When you come before him, he don't know the difference between the man that considered himself being in God all of his life and the hitman. He can't see a difference. He can't see the difference in the man that's lived faithful as a husband versus the one that's been a rolling stone. He don't see a difference. He don't see a difference between the man that works for his family every day on a good job and the one who's a thief. He don't see the difference. Why? Because nobody earned their status in heaven. Everybody was made the righteousness through the shed blood at the cross, where the blood was applied. That's what the Father sees when you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He sees it that way because it's not your righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness in you. If he saw your righteousness, you wouldn't get a thing. You get it. What you get while you're on earth is not yours. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And your inheritance is above. That's why you seek those things above, not on things on the earth. But everything you get while you here on earth belongs to Christ. And he's just sharing until you get to heaven and get your own. So that's why he tells the Father, when you come, while you're still yet on this earth, and petition him. When you ask him, don't ask in your name. Ask in my name. And he will give it to you. The reason why Christ knows that he would give it to you, because he's God himself. He's God himself. So he knows that if I, Jesus, am God, and I said that they can have whatsoever they ask, he already knows Father God is going to give it. Because it's the same God. So he knows you're not going to get denied. And he knows that he is sharing what belongs to him. So it was by Adam's one sin that resulted in this judgment, and God's gift that came about our justification. So God's word is true and his judgments are true. And so although we are born in this world with the spiritual separation from God because of Adam and guaranteed to physically die because of Adam, God offers to each and every one of us a free gift of Jesus Christ to remove every offense that you have ever done against God. For if by the trespass of Adam death ruled through Adam, surely much more will those who receive Christ's abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness rule in eternal life through Jesus Christ. So this comes from removing Adam's spiritual death from you and replacing it with a new birth of being born again in your spirit, which allows you to have access to the Father and to come and to pray, fellowship, and make your requests known to him. So verse 20 says, so what was the purpose of these 613 laws that define 10 commandments? That's what the law does. These 613 laws define what the 10 commandments mean. The purpose, what were their purpose? The law reveals to man the clear lines that he is living that is contrary to the will of God. They allow you to read it, get clarification on what God really means, that you're being disobedient to his word. And once God gave actual commandments about what to do and what not to do in his life, but humanity moved from simply being sinners because of Adam, they moved from having that sin nature to becoming lawbreakers. The existence of God's command then criminalizes your sin to where a punishment and a judgment has to be made. Where there wasn't a judgment made that carried about a punishment, the law criminalizes. You have disobeyed me. And here's the punishment that comes as a result. So from Adam to Moses, there was no law. There wasn't no criminalization of the sin. So there was no punishment made from a judgment. But once God laid out his law, to disobey God criminalizes it, which brings about a judgment and a judgment that brings about a punishment. So God wanted us to be aware of sin. So what he says is that where the offense, look at God, move in verse 20, moreover, the law entered. He gave the law at Moses that the offense that you're committing against God may abound. I gave the law so that the sin would flourish, overflow. I gave the law so sin can abound, be magnified. But where sin abound, I got much more grace.
Much more grace. Much more grace.
To expose sin even more so it can be seen clear and clear. So you know how you're disobeying me more and more. The more I allow the law to show that sin is flourishing, I've let my grace flourish even more. So I can cover all the sin of mankind. He didn't come to do this half step. He came to really redeem you back to himself. He came to pay a price. He came to make sure that you could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it was intended to show us that we're actually sinning, a clear understanding in our innermost being that God is not pleased with what I'm doing from my heart. I'm not just out doing an action that I don't understand, but my heart knows that I am making a conscious decision not to obey God. But God says, even though I've found you in that place where sin abounds, I still got grace to cover all that sin that I've made clarity to you to abound even more. Paul wrote in another letter, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So Paul concludes that God's grace is the greater ruler than sin. It reigns over sin and death. And he declares righteousness to all sinners who by faith receive the grace, this gift of Jesus' death for our sins. And he desires that you change your life because Jesus Christ offers you a gift of grace. That's your offer today. That's what he wants you to consider as we partake today of the Lord's Supper. He don't want you to take it out of religion or out of tradition. He said this is for you to remember what I did in place of what Adam had done. How I don't hold your sins against you if you give me your heart and you let the blood be applied. And allow me to change your innermost being and let you become more and more like me. Don't let the things we do here at Turning Point become religious tradition, but apply what you hear by faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by what you heard. Faith don't come by what you heard. Faith comes by what you're hearing. Faith is always now. Going by what you heard means you can go and pull it off the shelf when you think you need it. I done got myself in a desperate spot. I want to pull it off the shelf and I want to apply it today. God said, you can't do that because you can't choose me. I choose you. And when God is calling you, today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation for you to accept him.
Yes.
And then allow him to be a part of your life, to where if you do that, one day you will give him your total life. And you allow him to lead and guide you. Uplifted hands today. Father, we pray today that this gift of grace shall be accepted by faith, by these that hear. Let faith be now. And let us all understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by your word. We ask it by faith today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Father, we're once again grateful that you've allowed us to come into another service, to be partakers of your Lord's Supper, and to keep it in our remembrance of this precious gift that you've given unto each of us. Now we ask as we dismiss today, God, we're grateful and thankful for keeping your promises all week long and allowing us to come back once again. Grateful for how you kept us healthy enough even to make our way here. We ask you, God, to grant us another week. Oh, God, that we can come back and worship, be a testimony, give evidence that you are the true and the living God. Now, bless us as we depart another service, but not from departing from you. Take us to our destination. Protect us from the seen and unseen. And allow us to rise again at the next service. We ask it today by faith. And we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.